All right, let's pray the chaplet. And if you want to join me, of course, I know many of you might be new to the program. If you are, welcome. Every afternoon around this time, I stop and I pray a prayer that Jesus himself revealed to St. Faustina in the 1930s. St. Faustina was the first, she's the first saint of the third millennium, of the new millennium. And gosh, this is a powerful prayer. If you want to get in, the numbers, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I just want to share a prayer or two. You know, so often I share petitions, and I'm grateful for those that come in, but we have a lot of answered prayers too. And sometimes they're miraculous, you know, and let me share a miraculous one here with you. And then I'll share one that touched me in particular. This person said, I called in for a prayer request for my nephew, who is just a young boy. He was suffering with a tumor. He had a brain tumor, and he had to undergo surgery and then a long treatment. We called and prayed the chaplet of divine mercy for him. So when he had to go to get his MRI, the doctors found that the tumor was gone. He was completely and totally cancer-free. He joins you every day and your relevant radio listeners for prayer. And I just want to say, praise God. I want to thank him for his mercy. I prayed for a miracle. I trusted, as you had said, Drew, and God came through. No tumors, no trace of cancer cells. I just want to say thank God. You know, I love those answered prayers. Of course, they're great. You know, you have an MRI one day, and there's the lymph nodes lit up. You know, you've got cancer. You look like a Christmas tree, and you pray, and God can touch you, and doctors are stunned. You know, and those are very dramatic answered prayers. But this one I like, too, because, you know, yeah, we suffer physically, but what about emotionally? I had a woman write to me before, and she says, look, I prayed for a while for healing of a broken heart. She had a broken heart. I mean, how many of you have been jilted by somebody you loved, been betrayed, maybe you've been shunned, or, you know, there's been some infidelity or something, and you're really wounded? She says, I just want to praise God. She says, I prayed, and I asked God for his mercy. I never thought I'd get out of this, but I found that my heart has been healed. God healed my heart, which is something, Drew, that only he could do. So I just want to thank God. I do have another prayer, and I want to pray for anyone who suffers from depression, anybody who is suicidal, Drew, and anyone who has anxiety. It's very difficult in these moments, and so often you lose hope. So I want to pray that God will give them hope. Well, thank you for that beautiful intention and for those beautiful answered prayers. It's great to pray with you. And, of course, I'll take your calls in a quick second here. I want to welcome Josh Raymond to the program. He is the, I want your right title. I want to say the Executive Director of Network Programming.
You could also identify me just as host of The Inner Life.
And host of The Inner Life. That's right. You'll recognize the voice. By the way, let me say, I totally zoned. My wife loves the show. And she says that to me. She says, Josh is doing a really great job. I love his voice. She says, you know, it is. And Josh, I get a chance to listen to it. Josh is on every afternoon at 11 o'clock Central, and that's, of course, 12 Eastern time. We want to check him out.
My wife says my voice is so relaxing, it's about to put her to sleep.
That's what I said to Maggie. Maggie says, his voice is so relaxing. I said, yeah, he'll put you out, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what happens in meetings. You're like, huh, what, Josh, are you saying something?
Yeah, everybody's nodding off.
No,
I didn't have anything.
You sound great.
To say, anyway.
And it was fun pitching with you on the air, too. Yeah. That's right, Josh. I always try to think of your other title, you know, but of course, I'm going to start dubbing you just as the host of The Inner Life. It's easier for me to remember.
Very good.
Everybody's titles change. Anything you want to pray for?
So September 1st, September, the month dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows, yep. And kind of along with the email you read there, people who are sorrowful, dealing with depression, a lot of sadness out there, just especially that Our Lady, just cover them in her mantle, wrap them up, lead them to her son, the Prince of Peace, that he can give them peace in their lives.
Good prayer. All right, let's pray for that. Let's pray for your intentions, too. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on, okay? And see if I can sneak an extra intention in or two. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Oh, blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Oh, blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Oh, blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. I'll take that from Esmeralda, listening in California. Hi, Esmeralda. Good afternoon. I'm sorry, Esmeralda. That was me. Good afternoon, Esmeralda. You're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you and everybody there at Relevant Radio. I just wanted to ask prayers for us in California, for all the fires, the firefighters, the police officers, and all the ones that are suffering from COVID, especially my sister Martha. She's having a very hard time.
Yeah.
God help her. God help my parents. God help everybody that is going through this horrible, horrible situation we're in. Yeah. And God help people in Afghanistan, Haiti, and our government. Yeah. We need prayers for our government.
Yeah.
We need them to be the people we need to be to give us hope and strength.
Amen to that. Esmeralda, let's pray right now. Your signal's breaking up just a little bit, but I think I got everything you had to say. And I think it's such important intentions. And they're so selfless. I want to pray for the wildfires in California. And Lord, I pray every day that you protect this nation from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war. And I pray for the conversion of our leaders and those of our enemies. And I just pray that you send rain and you protect the citizens of Lake Tahoe and all those who are in the course and the path of these wildfires. And I pray for those who've lost so much down south as a result of Hurricane Ida. I pray for those who are suffering around the world, especially in Afghanistan as well. And, of course, for so many who battle with COVID, we ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hi, Rocco, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Joel.
You're welcome.
I just went to pray for we're having a trip going to Medjugorje on Sunday, on the 5th until the 16th. So I want to have a safe trip and that everyone's prayers are answered. Also, for my daughter, just had a baby yesterday, Rosalyn, Victoria. I hope that she baptized him because my other grandson is not baptized yet.
Yeah.
And he's 4 years old. So I want to pray for Cito and Rosalyn that they get their baptism.
You got it.
That's what I like to pray.
Well, you know, that's one of those prayers, Rocco, that I believe God answers. I really do. I often quote the section from the Diary of Faustina where the Lord says, you know, this is one prayer that always answers as prayers of conversion. But he also says that anything we ask, of him through this chapel by merit of his passion, if it's according to his will, it will be granted. And I just going to play with confidence that that child will be baptized. I know that's what the Lord wants. So let's just ask for that. Keep praying for it. It will happen, okay? And say a prayer for me, would you, when you get to Medjugorje, to remember me in a special way there, okay? And we'll pray for safety on your trip. Lord, I pray for all who are traveling right now. And I just pray for their safety, especially those who are stranded with COVID. I heard of a story of a woman and a man, two different countries, one Mexico, one Italy. They took a trip. They had to have PCR tests to leave. One of them was even vaccinated. Ended up having COVID, had a second test, and could not leave the country for 2 weeks. So if you're traveling, I just ask God for safety on you. And, of course, Lord, I pray for all those who are away from the faith, especially our children and those who are unbaptized. And we just pray for the parents who have been given that responsibility as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want to thank everyone who's written to us. You can email drew@relevantradio.com. I also want to thank you for using Twitter, and you can put your petitions up there at Drew Mariani Show, and Maggie monitors those, and we try to share them on the air. Not everyone can get through, but Maggie, what's coming on Twitter right now?
Wow, we've got a lot of requests today. So I wanted to throw back to Jennifer. She tweeted us a couple of days ago. She said, please pray for my pregnancy and my sweet baby girl. This is a miracle baby after having two prior miscarriages. Wow. So let's pray that that baby's healthy. Barbie asks for prayers for Eric, a young man with an aggressive cancer. So let's pray for healing for him. Andra's asking prayers for herself. She said that she's in a job where there's some hostile environment towards Catholicism. So let's pray that she can get into a better situation. Liz is praying for healing from her vertigo. Tim is asking for intentions for Janet in Illinois, who's having a tumor removed today. Martha's asking for prayers for her niece and husband, who are having fertility problems. Carolyn's asking for prayers for her daughters. One is having a high-risk pregnancy right now, and we're asking that that baby stay healthy. And she wants to pray for both of her daughters' marriages, that they stay strong and faithful. Janice is asking for prayers for her son, who's in a tax situation. So let's pray that that he can get out of that. Yeah. She also wants to pray for all kids returning to school, that they may be protected in mind, body, and spirit. And lastly, Monica's asking for prayers for her husband, for complete healing in his mind, body, spirit, and that he might grow in holiness to be the father and husband that God wants him
to
be.
I love that. Such beautiful prayer, such important intentions. I just feel so humbled to be able to pray with you, all of us together, for one another. It's such a unique moment, isn't it, to be able to pray with each other like this and to petition our Heavenly Father. Let's lift up those intentions. We'll bring Rosalia on with us. She's from Tujunga, California, listening to us there. Hi, Rosalia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to get through for the last few days with some great news.
All right.
I've been following you for about 6 months now, and Relevant Radio has really made a change in my life and my faith. And I've been praying the chaplet every single day, praying for a miracle for my son. He is in jail. He has addiction.
Yep.
And he's in jail because of stuff that he's been taking that doesn't belong to him.
Right.
And I've been praying that he accept a rehab program and just better himself and come back in the faith. And yep. I just got a phone call this morning that he has been transferred and accepted a transfer into a 6-month rehab program.
That's great. Rosalia, and, oh my gosh, my heart's rejoicing for you. That's fantastic. I am so happy for you. You know, that's your tears and that's your prayers. You know, God hears them. I know that. And, you know, I feel bad. I my heart goes out to your son, too, because I think our prison cells are filled with a lot of young men. It's not easy. But I think addiction drives so many of these crimes of theft and so many other things. Well, keep praying for him. You know, the battle's not over.
I will.
We have to keep doing that.
But
that, That's great. I'm so happy for you. Let's pray for his continued recovery and that God will use him to help others who perhaps are struggling in the same way. And we're going to pray for you too. All right.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Thank you, Drew. I love it. I love that. What an answer to prayer. You know, and God works in miraculous ways. The cancer that I talked about that disappeared, sometimes it's transitional. You know, God works. I had a friend that was in jail for drugs, right? Same story. And, you know, he's clean today. God can heal. And I know his mother shed a lot of tears. And I'm just going to pray right now, Lord, for Rosalia, for everyone who has written to us and everyone who's united with me now. And I pray in particular for addiction, anyone who has that. I'm going to pray for the incarcerated, and I want to pray for their families. Lord, be merciful. Hear us and answer us. We trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Wendy's praying with us in Plantation, Florida. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I really, really enjoy your program, and I look forward to it.
Thank you.
I'd like prayers for my mom. She's 95, has dementia, severe spinal stenosis,
wow.
And is also recently cracked her pelvis, believe. And she's in a lot of pain. Please pray for her and pray for my husband and myself that we be able to take good care of her. And for perseverance, patience, love, and all the graces that God wants to send our way. And I want to pray for a little baby, a newborn. Her name is Victoria. She has multiple health issues. I want to pray for our country and for our church.
Amen.
These are my petitions.
You got
and
it.
Conversions.
You got it. Well,
conversions.
Wendy, let's pray for you too. All those personal needs you have in your heart, especially for your mother. I want to pray for the elderly, for their caregivers. And Lord, I give you everything that Wendy is now petitioned you with. And I pray for all who have similar situations. We come together once again, trusting in your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Charlotte is praying in Dallas, Texas. Charlotte, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call, Drew.
You're welcome.
I need to pray for my son. He's 22 years old. He's been battling alcohol and drug addiction, and he has been sober for 100 days. He's been working a program and started a new job, and last night he disappeared. So we're praying that he comes back and he's found.
I am so sorry. Charlotte, I am glad you got through today. I want you to take comfort because your entire spiritual family here is going to pray for you, okay? We're going to pray for your son. We're going to pray for his safety. And, Lord, I shared an answered prayer the other day. There was a woman who wrote to me just last week, a couple days ago, in fact, about Braden Bellamy, who went missing, a woman who had borderline personality disorder. She was in L.A., and they didn't know where she went. We prayed the chaplet, and Braden was found. And this is one of those prayers that is often heard and answered, the missing or found. And, Lord, once again, I ask that you help this man who battles addiction. We pray for anyone who may be in a relapse, but I pray he can be found, that no nefarious actions have taken place. And I just pray for his mother. And I give you the needs, wants, and desires of all united with me now. I implore your mercy as I turn to you, interceding on their behalf, united with them, trusting in your love and your promises, we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, patron saint of addiction, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Josh, before I let you go, I want to make sure that we plug everybody into the inner life. I mean, every day has different audience. Would you tell everyone a little bit about what the inner life is all about and what you do there and how people can connect?
Well, the show started about 15 years ago with Chuck Neff as the original host, and he decided, okay, you know, I've kind of hit the end of the road here for the work that I'm doing. It's time to retire, and so he's getting to spend more time with his lovely wife, Judy. Really, really just wonderful transition. I actually had the opportunity to have dinner right before his final broadcast, and such a great guy. But it's a show about spiritual direction, and the goal of the show is really to help people so that whatever that aspect is, I mean, it all centers around prayer. If there was one thing I was going to say, you know, just like the chaplet here, everything that we talk about, the foundation of everything is dealing with prayer. Like today we talked about how can we make the work that we do in our lives, whether it's regular employment or whether it's, you know, you're doing dishes at the house or mowing the lawn or helping a neighbor, you know, shovel their driveway during the winter. How do you make that a holy offering given to God?
I love that.
And so we talk with a spiritual director, a priest every day, who helps us kind of navigate, well, what does this mean for us? We look at Scripture, we look at the Catechism, we look at the lives of the saints, the writings of the doctors of the church, different things like that, but also take calls from listeners and talk about, well, how have you seen this manifest itself in your life? How have you grown in holiness? Right. Or, you know, if there's an aspect that you're struggling with, how can we help you on that journey? And
it's almost a perfect fit for what we do. Yeah, the Mass, then well, you have your show, The Inner Life. But even with the chapel, look at the suffering people. People need spiritual direction. They need to understand why God allows suffering and how they can grow in holiness. I mean, it's such a natural fit. You have the rosary at 7 o'clock at night. And your spiritual directors, take a minute to just talk about them, because they are first class.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's really amazing getting to know these priests more and more on the air. And they have such a heart for the people that are calling in. You know, they just do it. They take the time out of their schedules. They say, you know, it's no problem. And you know what you were talking about, that, you know, being able to offer that hope to people who are listening, especially a couple of the callers here on the chaplet, Rosalie and Charlotte, both talking about family members dealing with addiction. And I have a very, very close family member who struggled and struggled and struggled for years and years, probably 15, 20 years with alcoholism, and went through multiple rehabs, different programs. And he's now been sober for over 10 years. But it took so much time, and there was so much prayer. And I'm sure my mom, especially, just that family member, she just poured out tears and her prayers to God. You know, it might take a while, but there's always hope. Just keep praying.
Yeah. And you need to continue to pray. First of all, Josh, I'll tell you about Chuck, because he said it couldn't be a better fit. And it's true, because he was so glad to turn the mic over to you. And you do a phenomenal job. It's a great show. I mean, you really do a phenomenal job. You added a depth to the program, too. And everybody brings their own gifts and talents to what they do behind the microphone here. 11 o'clock Central Time.
That's right.
Every afternoon. You catch the podcast, of course, if they missed anything. And there's lots of different discussions there. I get to hear it every day, so I'm blessed. So check it out. That's The Inner Life with Josh Raymond. Josh, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to pray with you, Drew, and with everybody that's listening.
Stay with us. We're going to take a short pause. We'll be back with more right after this.
The voice of reason for our nation. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's so great to be with you today. Thanks for praying with me. You know, I was just talking off air to my next guest, and of course, you know, he is joining us from overseas. And the thing I love about the chaplain, and he highlighted it to me, he was thanking me for the chaplain. I said, it's an honor for me to be able to pray. I mean, it's a privilege. I thank God for the fact he chose me to be able to do this. He is evangelizing throughout England and Ireland and lots of other places about Relevant Radio. They're downloading the app. And we have people that pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy with us from Australia to South Africa, to Britain, to Germany and Italy. I mean, I have testimony all over. There's people in militaries stationed around the world that are praying with us as well. We're one family. We may be separated by geography. We may have a different nationality, but we're all sons and daughters of God. We're all children of that kingdom. And I love that. And I love the fact that we can come together through technology and pray. And if you have a need, please send us your intention. Be more than glad to pray for it. If you have an answered prayer, as God continues to bring these miracles every day, send them to me. It's drew@relevantradio.com. Hey, I came across a great article. I was reading the Register not too long ago, and Kevin Turley wrote a piece on the new wave, the new Hollywood, and new morality. And we'll link over to this for you so you can read it as well. And I thought it was an important piece because right now, Hollywood is undergoing some really major changes. I mean, changes that are driven by the pandemic. I think the pandemic is changing every industry, isn't it? I mean, you see it probably in the industry you're in. But those changes are more about the market and how films are delivered than they are the content of the films themselves. Back in the 1960s, give you a little history here, there was a radical or a real sea change in the content of the films that Hollywood started putting out. And as I always like to say, you know, content is king. That's kind of the rule here for my radio program. If you have great content, everything else will follow, you know. And I always want to inform and inspire and educate and try to bring a moral perspective to these issues and give you a God perspective on them. But content's king when it comes to, you know, authorship, when it comes to filmmaking. The change in content regarding Hollywood, it came as pressure was being placed on what was known as the production code. And I've talked about this in the past. There was a code that the studios of the time voluntarily implemented back in the 1930s. And you know where that pressure came from? You know why they did this? Pressure came from the Catholic Church in the 1920s. See, the church at one point in time wasn't mocked and vilified and ridiculed and looked like it was weak. The church was respected, right? And it had an influence on the silver screen. It had a big influence on Hollywood. At the same time, there were a lot of films coming out about, you know, that were very explicit and graphic in violence and in sexuality. So the code was developed just to make the films, I guess, more family-friendly and help uplift the moral lives of Americans. And it lasted 3 decades, maybe for a little more than 30 years. But it started to come under pressure, guess when? 1950s. Studios felt like their hands were tied in terms of artistic creativity. But the real change The real impact was brought about by the French and a cinematic movement called the New Wave. You may never have heard this. So it's kind of a little insight into what has happened over the years when it comes to filmmaking. The films they brought over were what we call art house films, but they enjoyed a box office success because they were more explicit in their depictions of violence and sex, and that, you know, suddenly the sudden success of television put more pressure on Hollywood to change its ways. And again, I guess we can argue it was not for the better. So here to give us a perspective on a little bit of history and where we are today and maybe even where we're heading is Kevin Turley. He's a filmmaker. He's a writer. He's a journalist, a scriptwriter, a television host. He's really a man of many talents. And he wrote this wonderful piece for the National Catholic Register. We'll link over to it so you can check it out. I invited him to join us today. Hey, he's a little bit ahead of us in time. He joins us from England. Good to have you with us today, Kevin. Good afternoon. Good evening to you.
It's very good to be with you, Drew. Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
So, first of all, what inspired you to write this piece? Before we even talk about it, I'm just curious what motivated this perspective.
I think I was sitting one day, a number of things came into my mind. First of all, it's 70 years since a group of impoverished French cinephiles who were unable to make films because they didn't have any money, started writing about them. They started philosophizing about them. They started thinking about film. And that was 70 years ago. And then I was thinking about St. Thomas More, and I was thinking about The Man for All Seasons, and how their movement and his cinematic death, if you like, his execution in A Man for All Seasons,
yeah,
in some ways, to my mind, symbolizes the end of the... Just as in real life, St. Thomas More was the end of the order of Catholic England, and with the Reformation coming in and such like, it was curious that his cinematic death in 1966 in A Man for All Seasons was also that juxtaposition of the end of a cinematic order in Hollywood, and a new Hollywood was being ushered in. Just as in England, there was a new order that came in politically and religiously. From about 67 onwards, you can see how cinema, what became known as the New Hollywood, becomes paramount to filmmaking. And the whole nature of filmmaking in Hollywood changes. And Hollywood is the dream capital of the world. Yeah. So how we dream and how we see ourselves on the screen is often replicated then in how we think of ourselves. And that's replicated in people's attitudes. And if something's permissible on screen, well, maybe it's permissible in my life. And there doesn't seem to be any morality on the screen. Why should I care? So French intellectuals, they became quite famous directors, François Truffaut, Jean-Luc Godard, Claude Chabrol, just to name three of them. You know, they reshaped, if you like, the psyche, the mindset. That's my contention. And because what I allude to in the article anyway is that the new wave crashed up at Hollywood, or crashed on the shores of Hollywood, but that new Hollywood then has permeated what is now essentially the new morality. And I know you talk about this sort of thing a lot on your show, but sometimes we need to understand, and I think sometimes Catholics are a little bit, Christian Catholics are a little bit behind the curve on this, that culture will shape society. It will shape your politics, and that will shape your morality, and that will shape the society you're living in. So that they were the sort of thoughts that I was thinking about. This stuff, obviously, you've mentioned the production code is very relevant to it, because you know this is how you see the sea change, the changing of the guard.
You know, you talk about the St. Thomas More, and if you've never seen A Man for All Seasons, that is an absolute must. That's in my top 10. I love that film. The year before the film came out, right, the Oscars lauded the film. They lauded A Man for All Seasons. I think it won Best Picture and other awards. But you know what I found striking? How did we go, Kevin, from that to Bonnie and Clyde? Bonnie and Clyde was a huge success, too, in just a year. Mm-hmm. What was happening culturally?
Well, cinema does shape culture, but it's also the fruit of culture, the mindset. So you've got to remember that I think 67, 66, 67, 68 are pivotal years in terms of social change. I mean, you know, the United States, you had the summer, so-called Summer of Love in 67. You had the ongoing Vietnam War, et cetera, et cetera. But in France, for example, you had the May riots in 68. You had, there's an awful lot of, you had the Czechoslovakian uprising. There was just a lot of ferment going on at that moment.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of people have written about this, and I think it is to do with a generation coming to age post-war. And, you know, the war, certainly in Europe, shattered a lot of illusions about that the old order was correct or the old morality. You know, there was a lot of sort of, Europe was both shattered politically and economically, but also morally, in a sense, there was something amiss. So I think you have this generation, of course, you've got the Beatles, you've got the Rolling Stones, you've got rock and roll.
Yeah.
You've got all of these things coming together. I'll just give you one other interesting tidbit to think on, Drew, and it's this. Humana Vitae came out in June 1968.
Yep.
In the same month, nearly in the same week, Rosemary's Baby is released on
the
screen.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
And, you know, the thing about Rosemary's Baby is the epitome of that new cinema that's emerging.
Yep.
But just think, for the first time, I mean, we're talking about the production code, and the production code prohibited the depiction of certain things, but it also prohibited that evil would triumph. And in Rosemary's Baby, we have one of the first times in cinema where evil, and we're talking real evil, triumphs.
Wow.
And is it any coincidence, I ask you in the audience, that comes out at the same time, Humana Vitae, which is a prophetic document about life and its meaning and the whole nature of what it means to be a man and a woman. And then you've got this sort of blasphemous cinematic fable alongside it, which just sweeps the board. It was as successful as Bonnie and Clyde. So you have all of these films. I mean, you start going through the films of the 1960s, the late 60s, and you see a number of... Obviously, there's a lot of... blatant sexuality, which is there simply to fill the cinemas, but you also have a glorification of violence that you would never have had before in any shape or form, but you also have this subtext of the occult. And it starts with films like Rosemary's Baby. You see it then, I mean, again, The Exorcist, even The Omen, these sorts of films. But you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? And I would say it's a darkening. I mean, this is just my contention now, but it's a darkening of that popular culture. But, you know, if I go a bit further, there's also forces at work. So cinema is not a neutral zone. I see it as a contentious zone. And I think we can all imagine who got hold of the wheel round about the mid 60s. Not that Hollywood was a great place before that. I'm not suggesting that, and but there was a definite, if you look at a film made in 1966 such as Man for All Seasons, and then you look at Rosemary's Baby made 2 years later, or Bonnie and Clyde a year later, it's like night and day. There's something not right.
Even
how they made films, I mean, you know, the camera, you know, the whole sort of beautiful Technicolor glow of the early 1960s, totally gone by the end of the 60s and early 70s. They're using Panavision and a different technique, but it's darker. It's actually more depressed, if you ask me.
Wow.
Anyway, that's my view. So I think there was a number of cultural factors coming together, and I think that, unlike today, I think a lot of Catholics were probably asleep at the wheel, culturally.
Yeah.
And I think that they just thought, well, you know, we always have films, and there's... But I mean... Can you tell me a positive depiction of a priest after 1967 that's outside of a horror movie?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You know, Kevin, I think you're so on to something. I never really reflected on it. You know, I'm very familiar with Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and Amityville Horror and all these other films that would soon follow, right? And they deal with these dark, demonic entities. But you're right. They're the antithesis of life and everything that Humanae Vitae champion and what would happen, you know, after the 60s, you see what happened in the States here. We had the legalization of Roe v. Wade, and from that, the bad fruit of that. And it has been a dark and very anti-God time in the culture. And the fact that you say that the movies, and I never thought about this, I want to commend you for this insight, it's really reflective of a darkening of the culture. I think that is a profound insight. But to your other point, and let's pick this up on the other side of the break, you say there could be something more than that, Perhaps there are spiritual forces at work. And you can see both sides of the equation, the forces of life and the forces of death, and manifesting now in a powerful instrument of conversion, the media. My guest today, Kevin Turley. When we come back, our conversation continues.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All the issues, all the topics, one place. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so good to be with you, pulling back the veil, giving you a look at life, exploring issues you may not hear elsewhere. And I'm joined today by Kevin Turley, a very gifted filmmaker and journalist and podcaster and presenter and television host and radio presenter. I mean, the list goes on with this guy. He understands the industry well. He wrote an article called New Wave, New Hollywood, and New Morality. We just posted it on our Twitter page. I hope you'll follow us there, at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally, at Drew Mariani as well. But at Drew Mariani Show, you'll find that article. I think it's well worth the read. I think it's very revealing. I mean, we consume media, don't we? Constantly. And we just take it for granted. And I'll tell you, it's so powerful. Satan understands the what a powerful instrument this is for converting hearts and changing minds. And it's really problematic. There are some great films. You look back across the span of cinematic history, there's some great ones. We were talking about Thomas More and how, you know, the Oscars lauded the film, A Man for All Seasons. And then what happens? You know, 1967, Bonnie and Clyde with Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty marked the beginning, my guest was making the case for, of a new beginning for films in our country. And maybe there's more to them, you know. Humanae Vitae came out in 68, same year that Rosemary's Baby came out, and you see two opposite ends of the spectrums, right? Two opposite ends of the spectrum. And Kevin was making the point that, you know, since that point forward, somebody cite to me a movie where, outside of, let's say, The Exorcist or things along those lines, where a priest is really depicted in a positive light. Maggie, my producer, Kevin, and it's good to have you back, Kevin. Maggie and I were talking during the break about a Scorsese film. And Maggie, open your mic. I want you to join the conversation here. Share the film you were just telling me about.
Yeah, I was just saying that probably in recent memory, this is the Martin Scorsese's movie Silence. It came out, I think, around 2016, at least, showed the true heart of priests. They were Jesuit priests in 17th century Japan, and they are on mission to convert the island, and the basically the hardship that they experience left and right in that mission. So I do recommend it if yeah. you want a good
and Patrick
movie.
Alog, our call screener, said Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood's another good one with a good priest. But to your point, let's talk about what we can do, Kevin, because honestly, if you take a look at Hollywood right now, you take a look at the entertainment industry in general, even television in this country, where we now have children's programming, making mainstream same-sex unions and transgender issues are beginning to indoctrinate our kids. And then Hollywood is mainstream sexual immorality and impurity and glorified evil. You know, we had the production code in the 30s. That's now out the window. And you take a look where we're heading, people think, oh my gosh, how will we ever change things? Let's talk about that for a moment. How do we reclaim the moral high ground in Hollywood? We seem outgunned and outnumbered. Hollywood has the money. They have a lot of the talent. How do we do that? Has the ship left the harbor? And if so, how do we get it back in?
Well, the ship is the bark of Peter, and it's always a good ship to be on. So our Lord is always the pilot. So I have no fear about the future or where we're going with this. But what we need to do is we need to think strategically. We need to start thinking, with the same cunning as the serpent, not just the goodness of the doves. So, to take your point, I mean, the first thing, I take what Maggie said and Patrick, but I don't think we need any more films where Hollywood takes Catholic iconography and uses it as window dressing.
True.
Okay?
Very true.
So you can have lots of films about, I mean, I'll give you one film which I didn't really like, Sister Act, right? Lots of nuns dancing around, singing.
Whoopi Goldberg,
But, you know, there's something wrong about this because they're just using, as I say, the trappings of the church, and in some ways it's a false church. It's not the church. What we need to think about are films which talk about the sorts of things that John Paul II was preaching for 20 or 30 years, which is about what it means to be a human being.
Yeah.
Now, the cinema is not somewhere where you take out the catechism and start filming it. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. But what cinema is about, which is all the sort of arts media, which is about telling stories. Now, you can't tell me, nobody can tell me that Christians and Catholics don't have good stories to tell. In fact, I would go further and say, we've got the best story to tell, okay? Because it's his story.
Yeah.
And it's his story, but it's incarnated in Christians living their lives in different ways, facing problems. Nobody's asking for sort of Pollyanna stuff. Real problems with real Catholics going through it, but being transcended and carried by grace, by the kind of mercy that you propagate every single night on your show. That's the sort of thing we need to see on the movie screens so that somebody who's got no religion whatsoever can come into the movie theater, sit down and watch it and say, whatever they have, I want it. Now, that's a big ask, but that's the sort of thing we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking big. We need to be thinking the same way that those French intellectuals were thinking in the 1950s. In their naivety, in their youth, they wanted to change the world. Well, to my mind, that has an echo, and it's in the book of Acts. You know, when the early disciples, and was it Felix, said, hey, these people are turning the world upside down. That's the way we Christians should be. Now, we should be turning Hollywood upside down just as we're turning everything else upside down. Why? Not because we think it's our party or it's our country or anything like that. No, it's because we have a message of truth. The truth of what it means to be a human being. And we also have the message of true contentment, true happiness. Through all the muck, through all the dirt, through everything that happens to human beings, we have something more than what Hollywood in its current incarnation or anybody else can give to the world. But we need to mediate that through cinema, just as we do through art, through literature, through the radio, through talk radio. This is how we Christians need to re-engage with the world. And we need to think big, and we also need to think that the clock is ticking. We haven't got a lot of time. We need to get cracking.
Yeah, my guest today is Kevin Turley. We posted his article at Twitter, so you can follow us there at Drew Mariani Show. And taking a look at Hollywood, you know, here's where I stand on this. Right now, your voice is reverberating throughout Hollywood, all throughout the state of California, where so much, as you pointed out, you quoted it so beautifully, it's a dream capital of the world. And I'm hoping that there are directors, producers, actors, investors who are listening to you right now, Kevin, who says, let's do this. Because I really think those films will be successful. Here's the problem that I often see. There are people who share your vision. They try to do these films, and so often you see these cheesy, poorly acted, underfunded, poorly directed and shot, you know, Christian films that come out, and they just give these types of films a bad reputation. How do you get beyond that?
Well, I think it's like radio, it's like Catholic writing, Catholic literature, Catholic art. We need to have the same mentality as the medievalists, which is that we are giving to the world. We need to have greater confidence, not just in our own gifts and talents, but also in Him who animates us, right? He has conquered the world,
Amen.
And He wants to make all things new, and that includes cinema. That includes that world. So, now, don't get me wrong, there's a place for average films, good films, films with a good message. You know, there's different audiences for all of that. But we also need to find a way in which people can really rise to this. There is one film in recent time, which you know well, Drew, which gives me hope, and it's this. Because I worked in the film industry, I think you did as well, and you know that there's one thing that matters in the film world, and only one thing, and that is ticket sales, right? If a film makes money or a project makes money, that's all people are interested in. And the film which changed things, or potentially changed things for all of us, was The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was an old joke when Mel Gibson was making the film in Hollywood, and people would say, have you heard the latest about Gibson? He's making a film in Aramaic and Greek, and he's using his own money. Crazy. You'll never work in Hollywood again. Then the film came out, made $1 billion at the box office, never mind rentals and all the rest. And people are saying, did you hear about Gibson's film? He'll never work in Hollywood again. He doesn't need to. You know? So it's like, but that was an act of faith. So yeah. I think it's faith. We got to step out of the boat.
Yeah.
We got, you going back to your analogy about has that boat sailed? Yeah. No, but we have to step out of that boat, and we have to do radical things. Everybody needs to discern their own vocation, but some people listening to this tonight will have a vocation to go to Hollywood and to change it.
Amen. I love it, Kevin.
But you know what, Drew? That is their Golgotha. I'm under no illusion. Yeah. This is the way of the cross people are being called to. But some people are going to be called to it, just as you're called to do your ministry on the radio and so forth. People need to say, this is what God wants me to do. He will give me the means to do it. And if it converts one soul, it's worth it.
God bless you, Kevin. I'm having you back. I so enjoyed spending time with you, brother. You inspired me. And I hope those who are listening right now who heard him will respond. Sometimes God uses strange ways to communicate with us. Mel Gibson, yeah, he stunned the world with The Passion. He's working along with Jim Caviezel now on a follow-up to The Passion of the Christ. He's working on The Resurrection. Looking forward to seeing that. Check out Kevin Turley's article. We posted it at The Drew Mariani Show. I'll be right back.